Pumpkin flavors are back at Dunkin' Donuts. Get pumped for pumpkin and enjoy the fall flavor you crave with a variety of tasty treats. Experience the new handcrafted pumpkin macchiato and indulge in new pumpkin cheesecake squares made with creamy pumpkin cheesecake filling. There's so many pumpkin flavors to choose from. Enjoy pumpkin donuts, muffins, munchkins, and more before pumpkin season is over. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'.
Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio presents The Ike Taylor Show.
I am finna sweat.
Check out officialiketaylor.com. Now here's your host, Trib columnist John Harris. Trib Total Media. See what's next.
Good morning and welcome to The Ike Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio. I'm John Harris of Trib Total Media. And Ike Taylor, good morning.
What's up, John?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's a NFL is in full swing. There's a lot of stuff going on to talk about. Starting with the Steelers playing in San Diego on Monday night, having some downtime after Thursday night's loss against Baltimore. I was watching the Monday night game last night, and the NFL officiating the league once again lays another egg. You know, we've gone back and forth, Ike, over officiating. I know when you were playing, we talked about it and how you looked at officiating and just looked at it as a part of the game. And I was always impressed with the way you, at least publicly, the way you handled those situations. You know, hey, there's nothing you can do about it. You move on. But the other thing that you would say to me that was really important is you talked about what happens to a football team. And you talked about those back-to-back 8-8 seasons with the Steelers and what happens to an organization. An organization like the Steelers, when they don't win, I mean, a lot of teams would be happy with 8-8. But that's the Steelers. And what happens as a result? People lose jobs. Coaches get fired. Players get released or cut or not re-signed. And I'm thinking about Detroit last night on the play, losing 13-10 at Seattle. Calvin Johnson appears to be getting ready to score a touchdown. Right as he reaches for the goal line, Cam Chancellor knocks the ball away into the end zone. KJ Wright, linebacker from Seattle, you know, basically hits the ball out, taps the ball out of bounds. According to the rules, you're not allowed to do that. Detroit should have had the ball back inside the one-yard line with a chance to win the game. It doesn't happen. Detroit loses 0-4. Seattle wins. I'm tired of bad officiating, of officials not knowing the rules. Apparently, they didn't know the rules. And isn't that what they're supposed to do? Aren't they supposed to know the rules? I mean, apparently some players didn't know the rules. KJ Wright didn't know the rules. But the officials, isn't that what they're supposed to do? That's like telling a player, you don't know the playbook. You don't know your plays. How does the official not know the rules and get that right? Because guess what? That resulted in a loss for Detroit, which is 0-4, and we'll see what happens at the end of the year. But there's jobs on the line now.
And that's when we, you know, we feel like they got to be held accountable too. You know, like, they got to be graded too. I mean, we're graded. So at the same time, why they can't be graded? You know what I'm saying? So even though that call was missed last night, we figured one of them, all the refs that's doing the game, somebody got to get that right. Or somebody got to say in the huddle, hey man, this is the situation. This is what happened. We got to overturn this call. But when you don't, like I say, instead of going, instead of going 1-3, you go 0-4, it's hard. I mean, you're all the way behind the eight ball. And you're playing with people's livelihood, you know. My mindset is different from 1-3 than 0-4. So my game plan is different from 1-3 to 0-4. It's just a different mindset. So once you get all the way behind the eight ball, no change is coming. So sooner than later, the change is going to come. So it's just it's tough. It's just a tough situation, but at the same time, you know, I also feel like the referees got to be held accountable also.
Yeah, that's what I had a problem with here, Ike, is that there's no accountability. And I don't want to hear Dean Blandino, the official guy with the NFL, telling me afterwards that we messed it up. You know, so what? Are you going to change it? I don't need to know that you messed it up. Unless you're going to change it and give us the ball and give us a chance to win, I don't want to know that you messed it up. What good is that going to do me? Oh, wow, the league. Boy, I tell you what, that makes me feel better. They admitted that they messed it up. Why can't they get it right then? Well, no, you couldn't review it because it was deemed a judgment play, but they would have reviewed it if the question was whether or not Calvin Johnson had crossed the goal line first. So why don't we review that? I don't understand. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's we do it here when we say, we don't do it here when we say, and just live with it. And I know it is just a game. People say it's just a game, but Jim Caldwell, the coach in Detroit, a franchise, an organization that does not have a good history. You know, one of the few teams, I don't think, that has not gone to a Super Bowl yet. 0-4, struggling with Megatron. This is the second time he's had a situation like that. I think against the Bears a few years ago, he had caught a ball, scored, apparently had scored, and they said he put the ball down in the end zone too quickly, and they took the touchdown away, and they lost that game. This was different, but for the league to come out and say Detroit should have had the ball and they don't have the ball, I don't get that. Can somebody please, I tell my kid something and he don't do it, then there's going to be repercussions. Where are the repercussions? Okay, well, they disciplined the official. You know, we're not going to talk. Why not? We know when you fire a coach. Philbin just got fired in Miami, the head coach. Players get cut and released all the time. We know the ramifications there. And even if you say, well, hire them full time, well, so what? Every ref, nobody there knew that rule. You know what I'm saying? Apparently, it's a rule in the book which Dean Blandino read out on NFL Network last night after the game, the head of the fit. Okay, so what? Why don't your officials know that? And if they don't know it, why don't they get fired?
It's tough to get that back, like you said, Jay. Like, you don't get the game back. You don't get the game back. You don't get that play back. You can't rewind that situation if you don't talk about it in the huddle at the time. So it's hard, man. But that's when business decisions are made. You know, that's when people's livelihoods are made. You know, that's when history is set. You know, so, I mean, we can talk about it all day.
Yeah.
But by the end of the day, you know, decisions getting made from that loss, you know. Like I said, 1-3 sound better than 0-4. And right now, they're 0-4. And if you just look at it on paper, you think the offense should be more potent than that. But they're not. So it's just frustrating to see plays or calls get left on the field. And the next day, something should have happened at the time. It's too late.
Well, we know there's going to be more calls like this because that's what happens. And there'll be more, we missed it, and nothing will change. Dallas lost a – no, was it Dallas lost? No, Detroit lost a – they got to be feeling like they're – wasn't it against Dallas last year where they got a call? A call wasn't made, and Dallas went on and won, which ironically the following week Dez Bryant didn't get a call. A bad call, or people question the call at Green Bay. So it's a continual thing here. And this is a league that has, with all the stuff that's going on with Roger Goodell, the commissioner, and the situation with Tom Brady this offseason, and Ray Rice. I mean, there's been a lot of things that have happened in the NFL the last few months, within the last year, that I would say have not been positive. And this, to me, is just another You toss it in the heap. Another issue that the league needs to work out and fix it. People are getting tired of seeing stuff. It annoyed me. And I have no rooting interest in the game. I couldn't care less who won that game or who lost it. I don't care. But it bothers me when you see stuff like that and it continually happens and the league comes up with the same excuses and nothing ever changes.
Yeah, somebody got to be held accountable. You know what I'm saying? So it's just frustrating. It's frustrating. And yeah, I know if you're getting tired, Jay, everybody else getting tired. Well, everybody else getting tired too. So something got to change.
You know, you're listening to the Ike Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio, brought to you as always by Dunkin' Donuts, the preferred coffee of the Ike Taylor Show. Ike, watching that game last night, I thought it's Seattle, and I thought back to conversations we had a couple years ago when everyone was talking about how great Seattle was and how great their defense, an all-time great defense, and how great Richard Sherman was and how great they all were and how great Russell Wilson was. And 2 years later, it's funny, I don't see that. I mean, I see a good football team that was very fortuitous last night and won a game at home. I didn't see the dominant football team that I've seen. I didn't see the dominant defense that I've seen. I've seen Russell Wilson getting sacked and caught a whole lot more than in the past couple of years. I see a team that's learning how difficult it is to be on top. And I go back to last year's Super Bowl, and I said it then, and I'll say it now. You can't blow a chance like that. You don't know if you're going to get back to that Super Bowl where you get a chance to make a boneheaded call and call for a slant when you should have run the ball and given the ball to beast mode and it didn't work and you lose to New England in the Super Bowl. There's no guarantees in sports, are there? And I'm looking at Seattle, just like I'm looking at New Orleans, a franchise that had success, put a lot of money into certain positions. And, you know, you look at New Orleans now, Drew Brees got all the money. They had to let defensive players go. Injuries have kicked in. And that's a totally different organization now in just a few years. You're looking at Seattle. You know, they had signed Russell Wilson. They just signed him. They had signed Beast Mode, signed Richard Sherman, signed the safety. But they lost a lot of defensive players. They lost a lot of that depth that we used to talk about on the defensive line. It's hard to keep an NFL team together, especially a successful NFL team.
Yeah, with the free agency and what's going on, guys still want to get paid. I still, you know, got to like what Coach Pete Carroll is doing by keeping some of the guys.
Yeah.
Or at least signing some of the guys, understanding that you can't sign every guy. I mean, you know, you just heard last night, man, they got 53 guys on the roster. 24 of them guys are free agents. That's unheard of. A lot of them guys are starting. That's unheard of. So you just got to tip your hat to Coach Pete Carroll in the front office for the Seattle Seahawks, which is rare. You know what I'm saying? Out 53, either the guys are drafted or free agents. That's crazy. That's crazy. It's just about more than half of your roster. So that's a lot of homework. That's a lot of study. That's a lot of, hey, man, we're going to blueprint these guys and mold these guys into the way we want them to be. We're going to shape them the way we want it to be. So, you know, that says a lot about that front office and his coaching staff with everything else, especially with his free agency. And guys buy into it, you know. Yeah, guys leave. But, you know, Jimmy Graham had that same story. He went because he wanted to win a Super Bowl. And, you know, he strongly said and felt, hey, man, I got a real opportunity, a real shot to win. So, I mean, they're not putting up the points. Russell Wilson was scrambling for his life last night when he came down to making plays and the pocket collapsing, but they won. And that's been their story for the past couple of years. Their wins haven't been pretty, but as long as you come out with the W on the left side of that column, more than none, man, you give yourself an opportunity. And they've been doing that for the past 2 years, Jake.
Well, let's go back to that point you mentioned, the 24 free agents, undrafted free agents. It tells me something about them. I'll see if you agree or if you have your own opinion. it tells me, and I'm going to relate a story about Ryan Tannehill, the Miami quarterback, that may be in conjunction with this, but 24 undrafted free agents tells me you have a really hungry football team. Even if you have big time, big money players, the big name guys, you've got a lot of guys that have got chips on their shoulder, that are hanging on by a thread every day. They don't know if they're going to get that phone call, that knock on the door, if they're going to still be with the team. And that's what that tells me. I mean, great scouting department, able to find talent, that many guys. But in an age of free agency and big money contracts, that does seem to be one of the secrets to Seattle's success, Ike.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, Coach Tom Cable with the offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, he gonna find tight ends and former defense of tackles and defensive ends for the offensive line. That's why you saw they struggle. They let a lot of them guys go with free agency or traded some of them guys, but it's all about the mindset. You know, if you got a defensive mindset and been aggressive, you know, you're going to milk through what's going on right now, and you're going to trust that 9 times out of 10 that Russell Wilson is going to provide and make plays. You're just waiting for your offensive line, not this year, but probably next year, to really get a full season under their belt, everything sink in, and be better for Russell Wilson at a cheap cost next year.
I mentioned Ryan Tannehill, the Miami quarterback. I guess some reports to come out prior to the loss in London against the Jets. He became upset that he was intercepted a couple times in practice by practice squad players. And accordingly, reportedly, made some disparaging comments to the you know, hey, yeah, good job, go cash your practice squad check and have a good day, you know, sarcastically or whatever. Oh, I'm the big money guy, you those little peons over there. When you look at what's been going on in Miami since a couple years ago when you had the Richie Incognito bullying deal, and I was surprised, to be honest with you, that Joe Philbin wasn't fired then, because it seemed to be a dysfunctional organization where the head coach didn't seem to really know what was going on, didn't have his finger on the pulse of the team. And that still seems to be the case a couple of years later, and now he's finally fired. I don't know why you take him over to – I think you were talking about this with Maurice Jones-Drew, I think, on NFL Now, with NFL Network. Why, you know, you take the man over to Europe, then you bring him fire. Let him stay over there and hang out and – check out London Bridge and Buckingham Palace a little bit longer, man. You know, let them enjoy the sights if you're going to ask them. But Ryan Tannehill, if that is true, and those comments were made, what does that tell you? Does it tell you about the organization, about the individual, about the team? Or does it tell you anything?
Well, hopefully it's not true. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully. You don't want that to be true coming from quarterback, because now you like, so you're pulling the money card on me. So you're sensitive right now. Instead of wearing the boxer briefs, you're wearing a skirt. When stuff hit the fans, and it's not going your way,
here we go.
You're going to shoot low. You're going to low blow me. Like, we all know the chain of command. Like, 9 times out of 9, man, the quarterback is making all the money, so if the quarterback getting upset and saying them kind of statements, you know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. Dang, bro, you throwing the ball. I'm in a position. I just keep picking you off. Like, it's not my fault. Maybe if you could throw the ball better or throw the ball where it need to be, then I wouldn't be able to pick the ball off. You know what I'm saying? But for you to just hit me with a low blow and be like, hey, man, get back to the practice squad checks, I'm like, I'm gonna come back and say, man, you've been stealing anyway, because you've been a problem. You've been a problem more than that. I don't know if you want to face that, but look at yourself in the mirror and tell me how you've been helping us win. Because really, for the last couple of years, you've been helping us lose. You know, like, my comeback gonna be way better. My comeback gonna be on point. Like, you can't sit there and tell me that and me not low blow you. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to hit me with a low blow, I'm not going to hit you with a low blow. I'm going to hit you with the truth. And the truth of the matter is, you haven't been that guy. Like, you know, you haven't been that guy. So you can't even come at me like that. Like, wow. Like, okay, you come at me like that, I know where your mindset at. You're going to always fold during a time of adversity.
Well, I mean, I think Dolphins are a prime example of a dysfunctional organization. I mean, if indeed money does determine who the leaders are on that team, if Ryan Tannehill and Ndamukong Suh are your leaders based on their money, we know why the Dolphins are in trouble. Ndamukong Suh is you know, the defense is just getting run all over by the Jets. And you know, no accountability, no, I got to take responsibility. You got a quarterback calling out practice squad players, reportedly. You got Ndamukong Suh walking out of an interview over in Europe, and the PR guy looking at him with this crazy look on his face because of his responses. Is there any wonder why what's going on there is going on there? And it's we can look at Ryan Tannehill. We can look at all these Suh. Philip, it's at the top. It's at the top of the top. And that's why you have some organizations, a handful that are successful, and that's why you have a lot that aren't successful. Because the decisions like that are constantly made week in, week out, year in and year out, and it never seems to change. Miami, it seems, didn't learn anything from what happened a couple of years ago, and they're still trying to fix it out. And I don't know if it can be fixed. And the guy Campbell, the interim coach, he comes in basically and stabs his head coach and former head coach in the back. We got to change the culture. Well, dude, you on the staff with this culture. Now you become the interim coach, and you're just going to be the interim coach. You're not going to be the head coach next year. And now all of a sudden, it's a culture problem?
Like, I felt like he was auditioning for all 32 teams. I felt like, man, you kind of dope. Now you done threw coach under the bus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You made it about you and what you're about to do. It's a cold hustle. So was that your game plan? You know? You gonna call out all the top guys, the Mike Pouncies, the Landrys of the Suhs, and talking about you're gonna push Dill? you say during the week, the practice was vanilla. So you're going to say that? So we all know during the practices who the head coach was. But I just felt like Coach Dan, interim Dan, was auditioning. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. You have your opportunity, but at the same time, I just kind of felt like, man, you throwing Coach Phil under the bus and some of the things you said. Now, you done played in the league, and you understand a lot of things need to be in-house. You ain't keep that interview in-house. You was auditioning on what's going on. So, I mean, you're going to use your platform, and your platform at the time is your head coach got fired. You the next in line. They choose you to be the interim head coach, but let's talk about the opportunity you have and what you're going to do to change the team. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to get in depth on your game plan. You don't have to just relay the past in your message during the interview. What happened with Coach Phil during the weeks, that happened. That's for you to know in the back of your head, the GM and the organization to know, but that's not for the world to know what happened during practices week to week. You got to have that mindset and change that and keep that in-house. That's how I was looking at it.
As a 12-year NFL veteran, two-time Super Bowl champion, how are the players looking at that? They watched that. They saw that press conference. What are they? I don't know how he's going to win those guys over. But what you know? In your opinion, how are the players looking, or maybe the veteran players? How are they looking at what he said and what he did yesterday?
Well, it's kind of like an eye opener. You know what I'm saying? It from what he said to what he's going to do and how he's going to go about throughout from here on out, the week, practicing, scheduling, being aggressive or being passive, I mean, guys don't have their mind made up. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's an eye-opener when you fire the head coach during the year, because now mentally nobody's safe. You know what I'm saying? Like, anybody can be cut. Anybody can be out the door. So, I mean, guys might change things around because of the situation. The head coach just getting fired throughout the season, you know, early part of the season. But time will tell. But at the same time, I just felt for that platform. You don't have to get in detail and mention what was going on when Coach Phil was the head coach. Let's try to be positive and come up with a game plan, not in depth, but your game plan on the opportunity that you have to be in a situation, and you're going to try to change the team around as soon as possible.
Good stuff. You're listening to the Ike Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Experience layers of handcrafted perfection in every sip of Dunkin' Donuts' delicious new macchiato, made with steamed milk, layered with rich and creamy flavor, topped with a double shot of Dunkin's rich, freshly brewed espresso. It's a beautiful combination that tastes as good as it looks. Find your macchiato moment today and enjoy the flavor of fall with a new hot or iced pumpkin macchiato. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Pumpkin flavors are back at Dunkin' Donuts. Get pumped for pumpkin and enjoy the fall flavor you crave with a variety of tasty treats. Experience the new handcrafted pumpkin macchiato and indulge in new pumpkin cheesecake squares made with creamy pumpkin cheesecake filling. There are so many pumpkin flavors to choose from. Enjoy pumpkin donuts, muffins, munchkins, and more before pumpkin season is over. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Pumpkin flavors are back at Dunkin' Donuts. Get pumped for pumpkin and enjoy the fall flavor you crave with a variety of tasty treats. Experience the new handcrafted pumpkin macchiato and indulge in new pumpkin cheesecake squares made with creamy pumpkin cheesecake filling. There are so many pumpkin flavors to choose from. Enjoy pumpkin donuts, muffins, munchkins, and more before pumpkin season is over. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on Trib Live Radio, don't miss Wrestling Reality with Justin Labar, brought to you by Gladiators of the Cage, online at GOTCMMA.com. Justin talks to the biggest stars in the WWE and brings you the latest scoop in the world of wrestling. Plus, he takes your calls every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Wrestling Reality on Trib Live Radio, brought to you by Gladiators of the Cage. Follow them on Twitter at GladiatorMMA412.
Mr. Rooter Plumbing with 24/7 emergency service and weekend service at no extra charge. Why call Mr. Rooter first? Free estimates. You know the price before we start. Fixed right the first time. Clean, professional technicians, and all work guaranteed. Residential services include complete plumbing, repairs, clogged drains and sewer cleaning, faucets and disposals, toilets and water heaters. Drain cleaning services include trench, sewer and water line replacement, pipelining and video inspection. Mr. Rooter Plumbing, 100% satisfaction guaranteed, service when you want it. Red carpet treatment, make the call, 724-553-3355 or 412-567-1222. Online at rooter2.com. That's rooter, the number 2.com.
Good luck, area teams, from the Lynchfield Dairy Queen and Car Wash. Open all year long. The Lynchfield Dairy Queen and Car Wash is located on Route 119 North in Greensburg. For more information, call 724-834-3500. That's 724-834-3500.
Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'.
Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio presents The Ike Taylor Show.
I am finished.
Check out official IkeTaylor.com. Now here's your host, Trib columnist John Harris. Trib Total Media. See what's next.
Welcome back to the Ike Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the preferred coffee of the Ike Taylor Show. Ike, a lot of stuff going on in the NFL and in general. And before we move on to the Steelers and Chargers, one observation I have, and of course, open the stage for you if you have any observations. But I was watching the Giants Buffalo game on Sunday, Odell Beckham Jr. And this guy with the one hand catch and all the hype behind that and this and that. But again, it goes back to why I say I have such great respect for the NFL. I think the NFL coaches are the best coaches in all of sports. He's still a dangerous receiver, capable of making those type of plays anytime, but the way teams have now shifted their defense to him in just one season, it's remarkable to me how NFL teams and how it's hard to be great. And it makes me have all the more respect for the Steelers. Your guys, the runs you made, 3 Super Bowls in 6 years getting there. It is so difficult to stay on top with the teams, the way teams adjust and game plan. And you look at now how Odell Beckham Jr., every catch, every play, it's a battle for him now. You know what I mean? He's got the skill set. He's going to do that. But it's not like it was last year. And to me, it's just typical of the NFL and how they take away what you do best and force you to come up with something different.
Yeah, you got to evaluate yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be willing to adjust. And like you said, I feel the same way you feel when it comes down to NFL. Your head coach is some of the best coaches in the world, whether it's position-wise, offense, defense coordinator, special teams, or head coach. So it's just an adjustment game. And they're getting on the road. It's been a slow start for Eli and their offense, especially over the last 2 years. But, you know, they are getting on the road. I mean, MJD made a good point. They lead in the league in rush defense. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And you don't even know that. But at the same time, OBJ still making them plays. Mm-hmm. They're going to figure it out. You know, I think they have been figuring it out. Reuben Randle has been making plays. He quietly has been having a good season so far. They're waiting on Victor Cruz to come back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So OBJ is going to be OBJ. He's going to make his plays. Situational-wise, as many times as Eli see that one-on-one situation, he's going to Odell Beckham Jr. And we all know that. But, you know, he just got to see him more times than not. So, time will tell. You just got to adjust. You know, it's hard staying on top. But when you're honest and you self-scout and you self-evaluate and you know your strengths and your weaknesses and you know your tendencies, that's how you stay on top for a long period of time.
We had an interesting discussion on Friday night, Ike Taylor Show special over at the Sports Grill in Cranberry. And we were talking about the kicking situation. It was the day after, 24 hours after the Steelers lost to the Ravens at Heinz Field. And we talked about not going with Josh Scobie late for attempts to win the game, kicking field goals. And your opinion, you were saying you were over at the facility that Friday. You were looking for Josh. One of the reasons why you didn't see him, they probably told him not to show up. But we find out that they made a move. Steelers made a move and brought in Chris Boswell to replace him. We talked about if you don't have confidence in your kicker, how can you still have him on the roster? And I guess that's what it came down to.
Yeah, it's just tough. I mean, I wanted to see him, you know, have that positive impact on him and just tell a man keep his head up, because I've been through. I was in a dungeon. You know, I've been in the valley. So I get it. And playing kicker, man, it's a hard job. Yeah, we said they only got one job, but I can only imagine that pressure. You know what I'm saying? That comes within them 3.5 or 5 seconds or 6 seconds in the game. And you've been seeing that a lot lately, especially over the past 2 weeks. It's a lot of pressure out there on that football field with them kickers, you know. And now the thing has been, are they even athletes? Can't get athletes because those guys play special teams. You know, we talk about all the time is players. I would rather do 60 snaps on defense than do 20 snaps on special teams. That's when I was getting hurt because it's suicide. You go on commando when you're doing special teams. It's a full-out all-day sprint. You know, your mindset got to be different when you just do special teams. So these guys making Pro Bowls for these special teams, I'm going to tip my hat and bow down to that all the time. But that's the situation. Your kickers are pretty much in. Special teams ain't fun. It's the one-play game changer. It's the big play of the game. You know what I'm saying? So I get it, and I tip my hat to them kickers.
I don't know how you did it. I 12 years in the league, starting at cornerback, number one, playing the top guy, top receiver every week, and you were a main fixture on special teams. A lot of those years when you were starting, man, I tell you, you know, God was looking over you, and that you played the amount of time that you played, that you were able to accumulate the amount of wealth that you were able to do, and that you were able to have the individual and team success with Super Bowl championships that you were able to get. And, you know, I'm sure you realize that and look at that all the time, but you did have 12 years. That's a lifetime in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 1-2. Special teams ain't nothing but a 1-2. Just like tackling for a corner is a 1-2. Just like blocking for your running back or your run play as a receiver is a 1-2. The tape is your walking, talking, breathing resume, like Coach T say. So what you put on tape for those special teams, what you put on tape as a corner, what you put on tape as a receiver, it's going to show. You can't back down. You can't deny it. So I just know, man, for that special team, Jay, man, it's hard out there for a pimp on that special team, man. It's rough on that one play. You know what I'm saying? So just give me 60 plays. I'd rather do them 60 plays on defense and have them 20 plays on special teams.
Talking about kickers, Tampa Bay also cut Kyle Brinsda, I believe. And ironically, one of the guys that they – and I don't know if they've already signed one or not, and who cares, Tampa Bay. But one of the candidates that they were looking at was Billy Cundiff, who missed the field goal for the Ravens a few years back against New England in the playoffs, and he ended up getting cut. And now we see Justin Tucker making the big kick for Baltimore last week against the Steelers. It's a lonely life as an NFL kicker, but you can make a lot of money, especially if you can stay around a long time like some of these guys have done and make some money for you, for yourself. But it is a lonely life, and it is, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of Maalocs in their medicine cabinets, man, because there's a lot of pressure. Everybody looking at you, all you got to do is kick the ball between the uprights, but it's a lot easier said than done. But I've had my say on kickers. They are just kickers. We're going to move on and look at this week's game for the Steelers at San Diego, which if you're a Steelers fan, I think you got to be feeling a little bit better about. I saw the Browns and some of the Browns and Chargers game the other day, and Phillip Rivers was Phillip Rivers, but overall I was not impressed. I mean, I feel like if the Steelers go out and play their game, they should be able to win this game.
Yeah, you know, they should. The only thing about Phillip Rivers is, man, he got that mentality. Like, he always start off slow, but you always want to give him the ball during crunch time because more than not, he's going to come out on top. That's the scary thing about Phillip. That's in his resume. That's been his past. He's a straight-up clutch football player in my eyes.
Yeah, he's been around a while. He hasn't won the big one, which is probably, you know, the reason why maybe he hasn't been put in that upper echelon category. He's carrying that team. I mean, last week they had a lot of injuries with receivers. But still, he threw for over 300 yards, led the Chargers on the game-winning drive down the stretch to beat Cleveland. And Monday night games are always, I mean, look at last night's game, a lot of crazy endings. So it's not guaranteed, but I just feel like it's a game the Steelers have a good chance to win, especially now when you look at someone you can talk to us about because you saw him last year, Martavius Bryant, back after his four-game suspension. Everyone seems to be excited how much he's going to bring to the Steelers' attack with Antonio Brown, I guess, now seeing a lot more double teams, or maybe he's always been seeing that. That's going to leave some opportunities for Martavius Bryant. Like, from what you see on tape, how are teams playing the Steelers now in their passing game? How are they playing Antonio Brown? And now how with Martavius Bryant coming now, how will that change things, or how will that impact on the passing game?
I think they're just going to – what Vic playing is, this is his second game. I think they're going to play – or they play a little bit more one-on-one with AB because they're probably blitzing more to Vic on trying to make him make a decision real fast. Crazy thing about it is now Martavius Bryant is helping Vic more than anything. So situational-wise, I got a tall receiver, a deep play receiver where the ball doesn't have to be accurate. I can just throw that thing by the flick of the wrist and hopefully he'll come down with it. So now he becomes a deep threat. AB is AB, so he's your intermediate right now guy. Give the ball to him right now. Let him take a five-yard pass, 50, 60 yards, because that's what he do. So he's going to open that. He's going to open that playbook. It's going to be a comfort zone for Vic going to Martavius. And everybody else is going to feed and see the difference Martavius brings to the table just because of his big play ability at a young age.
You're listening to the Ike Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the preferred coffee of the Ike Taylor Show. Ike, along that line, we're talking about Martavius Bryant returning following a four-game suspension. You saw this kid last year. What does he bring? How good can he be? Potentially, he's got all the intangibles. He's got the size. He's got the speed. What did you know when you saw him last year, when you were practicing against him, when you saw him up close and personal? What were your immediate thoughts, and what do you see for his future if he's able to keep his head on straight and move forward from what happened off the field?
Just a humble young man, a humble kid. Well, you don't even know he's at practice. You don't even know he's in locker room, man. He's like a cat. Man, he come in, do his job, get his work done, want to get better before and after practice, don't say too much, and he gone. And you see the progression week in and week out from year one to year two, the impact he's had on that offense. You know what I'm saying? You can't ask for nothing better than that. When you got a guy when you don't even know he's there at a young age, really quiet, don't say too much, keep to himself. But it's getting better every week. He's probably going to be the most feared big play guy if he get his opportunities and attempts in the NFL for years to come, Jay.
Why is that?
Just because of his big play ability, man. Now he's running all the routes. You know, last year Martavius probably had a few routes. Probably had the down pass, a curl, and a go. Now you see him going in motion. He having the goals in motion, the post in motion, the outs in motion. He's running dig routes. He's pretty much trying to be the complete receiver. And why not walk around with AB, follow AB, and see how he works and see what he do? Why not do that? Why not be under his belt? Why not be in his head? Why not have his work ethic? And that's what Martavius Bryant is doing.
When Michael Vick was in Philly, I always remember that game against the Redskins. That was like a video, definitely like a video game. It was incredible. And I think I had him as my quarterback that game in my fantasy team. And he threw this, like, what, 80-yard bomb, 90-yard bomb to DeSean Jackson. It was just incredible. He just threw it out there, and DeSean Jackson just ran under it and ran in for a score. Do you see, and Michael Vick, I mean, he's still got that arm. We've seen that already. Do you see that potentially here? This could be, I mean, yeah, we know Antonio Brown is the guy. But for Michael Vick, do you see this, the Martavis Bryant, maybe this being what he needs, that big play guy that he can just let it go out there and wear it out a couple times a game? Do you see that really possibly enhancing, you know, his game here with the Steelers and the time he'll be with them as a starting quarterback?
No question. That's an option. That's an option that Martavis is giving me. You know, he let me just throw the ball up, and I'm trusting him to come down with it. Like, Vic is going to benefit more Martavis being back than Martavis getting benefited from Vic being the quarterback. That's my opinion.
We always do predictions, and we're going to wind down here on the Ike Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio. I'm going to give my prediction, and I'm going to get your prediction, and we're going to let you close it out. I see the Steelers winning this game, man. I don't, you know, the defense has been playing well enough to win, making plays. If you can kind of keep feeling, even though I do believe they're getting the tight end back. He's been suspended. Gates. I do believe he's coming back this week. Antonio Gates, who has been Phillip Rivers' security blanket for a long time. So we'll have to keep our eye on that. But I see like a 31-17 victory for the Steelers, to be honest with you, on Monday night. Some big plays, and we haven't even mentioned Le'Veon Bell, who's always a threat. I'm going to let you give your prediction. I'm going to let you close it out. And, you have a great week. Remember, you can always catch Ike on NFL Now with Maurice Jones-Drew, and they have a blast. They break down tape. They break down what coaches and players say, and they give you their interpretation of it. And especially as only Ike can do, seem to have a lot of fun doing it. So, Ike, good show. Let you give your Steelers Chargers prediction and let you close it out. And, you have a great week.
Yeah, I think with Martavis Bryant being back, Vic is under his second game a full week ahead. He's going to be more comfortable than ever. I got Pittsburgh winning this game, too. I mean, as much as I want to say Gates coming back, Pittsburgh defense has been playing solid, quietly. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I'm going to roll with Pittsburgh for this game. I think they have enough weapons. They have an experienced quarterback. You get your real athletic, big play, deep threat guy back on offense. Le'Veon is back. We saw what he did the past 2 weeks. Vic is Vic. AB is the best receiver in the world. So I got them winning along with a good defense who's quietly has been making noise or been playing better than people's expectations, I'm sure, have ever been. So Phillip Rivers is going to be Phillip Rivers. He's going to make his plays. He's going to throw a lot of jump balls and let his big receivers go get the ball. Gates got something to prove, I'm sure. That's his security blanket. So it's going to be a good one, but I still see Pittsburgh winning this game. Got to give a shout-out to Dunkin' Donuts, the preferred coffee of the Ike Taylor Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Jay, for helping me out with the radio show. Catch us every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's live. We talk. Great conversation. See y'all next Tuesday. Peace.
Good luck to the Norwood Knights from Dunkin' Donuts with three great and convenient locations in your area, including Irwin, Murraysville, and North Versailles. America runs on Dunkin'.